Welcome to the Buckmaster Show for this Wednesday, the 6th of July, 2011. Well, at least we got some rain. Oh, did we get rain? Two straight days now, depending on where you are in the Tucson area, big time rains. Aren't you glad, though, that you were not up in Phoenix when that dust cloud came through yesterday? I guess it was like 10,000 feet in the air, solid dust and very little rain. Our poor friends up in Phoenix not really getting the wonderful rains that we have been getting. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show. This is KVOI AM 1030, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and our simulcast partners KJAA in Globe and KAPR in Douglas. The Buckmaster Show is always on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com. We have live streaming of the show at that site, along with archiving all of our previous programs. And there have been a couple of other enhancements to the buckmastershow.com site. We want to thank our friends at TucsonSentinel.com. We are partnering with them. So now on the buckmastershow.com site, there is live streaming of what's going on with the news. So we thank TucsonSentinel.com for that. It's going to be a good relationship, a good collaboration. The Buckmaster Show is live weekdays from noon to 1. The lineup for today's show includes a leadoff interview with Judy Burns. Ms. Burns is the longtime member of the Tucson Unified School District Governing Board. She's a past president. She's now clerk of the board. At 20 minutes past the hour, we welcome back to the Buckmaster Show certified financial analyst, certified planner Shelley Fishman for the weekly financial report on the Buckmaster Show. At the bottom of the hour, New York Times bestselling author J.A. Jantz talking about a milestone book being released this week for Ms. Jantz. We'll wrap up the show with Dr. Robert Hendricks. Dr. Hendricks is the Buckmaster Show education contributor, one of two dozen contributors to this program, folks that you can find at Buckmaster Show. They enhance our program. We thank all of them. So we're going to begin with education, and we will end today's show with education. Our show is primarily interview-driven. We do encourage you, however, to call in with your questions and or comments. Call us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040, or outside of the Tucson area, you can call 1-866-725-5467. Also, submit questions to our guests by visiting buckmastershow.com or the Buckmaster Show on Facebook. If you want to see the lineup, by the way, for the next day's guests, we usually have that posted on Facebook 24 hours in advance. We're going to begin now with Judy Burns, the clerk of the TUSD Governing Board. Judy, good to see you.
Good to see you.
Let's not begin with ethnic studies for this.
Okay.
But we will get to it. But I do want to begin with the Arizona Daily Star editorial today, Judy Burns, saying that all options should be in play for those closed school sites. I'm not sure how many we're talking about, but the board right now is trying to figure out what to do with those sites, right?
And there are nine sites, nine schools we closed last year. And nothing really is off the table. Early on, we talked about how wise it would be to let a charter school move into our schools, and we thought it was not the wisest thing to do, since they would undoubtedly take students from our school district and therefore cost us money. But it's not completely off the table. We've had a consultant group looking at the sites, sorting through the offers, and they haven't come to us with a report yet, but they will soon.
So it's not just charter schools. And I know the day that that original story came out, I guess it was last week, we had Dr. Michael Block, the founder of the Basis Schools,
yes,
the highly regarded Basis Charter Schools. And he said, of course, he was very interested in, I think, at least two of the nine TUSD sites. But it's not just charter schools. I guess you've got some businesses that are possibly looking, some nonprofit groups. groups, maybe even some TUSD administrative staff.
That's right.
Could go there.
That's right. We have other properties that aren't well suited to what we're using them for, and I'm not sure how many rental properties we still have. So we may be moving some services that to other schools. And our goal was never to make a lot of money, because that money, first of all, can only be used in certain ways. But to not have the expense of running the school at a loss, basically, because they were so under-enrolled. And we had lots of under-enrolled schools on the east side, and to consolidate them just made sense.
Judy Burns is with us. It's 10 minutes past 12 on the Buckmaster Show. She's a longtime member of the TUSD Governing Board. Perhaps you would like to weigh in on this at 790-2040, 790-2040, if you think perhaps you could give us some of your ideas, what you think TUSD should do with those now vacant nine school sites. While you're waiting to make that call, I am going to move on now to ethnic studies.
Of course.
Of course. And I'm going to begin with a question that came into us on the BuckmasterShow.com site, and this comes in from John, and John's question for you, Judy, is, Judy, didn't this whole controversy about TUSD ethnic studies begin because Dolores Huerta essentially said that Republicans hate Latinos? And in your opinion, hasn't the Republican leadership in this state essentially proven that true with these types of political witch hunts? That question from John.
Well, yes, it did start then, and that's what Tom Horn cites every time he talks about it. And it wasn't just that she said that. It was the issue. There was a student in the auditorium who was offended and wanted to leave the room and was not allowed to leave the room. And that was wrong on TUSD's part. We didn't handle it properly. She should have had an alternative place to go, whether it be the principal's office or somewhere. But she contacted her congressperson and state superintendent of schools, and it became a very large issue. We'd been having Mexican-American studies classes for many years before that happened. But Dolores without any issues at all.
And just for the folks who may not know who Dolores Huerta is, she is?
She's the co-founder of the, I can't think of what it's called now.
A Mexican-American advocacy group?
It was the Cesar Chavez group, United Farm Workers of America, I think it was. Very long time in that movement. So she was a public figure that was brought in to speak to these kids, and that was an unfortunate thing she said, because instead of imparting a lot of wisdom, which I'm sure she has, that was just a red button issue that just set off a whole bunch of stuff. So.
And another thing is kind of set. Well, going back to the ethnic studies, you were waiting for the decision earlier this year from Superintendent Hoopenthal, and then Board President Mark Stegman wanted to introduce this, making the Mexican Studies program an elective, and in other words, taking action before the state. In your opinion, was that a mistake moving forward before you actually knew what the state was going to do?
And that's what I advised him, and that's what the superintendent advised him, and that's what a lot of people advised him, that our legal advice for the last year since this law was signed was that we should wait for the state to define what they want. And once we know what they want, then we can deal with it. And it might be that the classes be elective, or it might be something else. And it turns out it was something else. So we had all the controversy the night the students took over the boardroom. They believed there would be three board members that would vote on that night, and that their fight would be over at that point. They'd lose the ability to use those classes as core curriculum.
So I where do we go from here? Now, this has been appealed by TUSD. Do you see this being into the courts for a while or what?
For right now, they have to appoint a hearing administrative hearing officer. They have to give us dates. We'll have our side. They'll have their side. Right now, we're a little confused because
of the audit, well, which praised, in effect, the ethnic studies program.
Yes, it did. This audit that cost the
state audit.
A state audit. We did not pay for it. The state of Arizona paid for it, and it was mostly flattering. And it found all the way through it that we did not violate the law. So. The law that stemmed, I'm trying to think what the number is. I know the bill was 2281.
But so it was a favorable audit in effect.
There were a few things we should correct, and most of it was bookkeeping. A lot of it was bookkeeping and the way we oversaw the programs and the data that was missing, basically. I think anybody would tell you that we haven't been that organized in the past. And our new superintendent, Dr. Pettacone, is doing a heck of a job trying to get all these things in line. It's not easy.
790-2040 for Judy Burns, 790-2040. Do you think it's getting in the way, this whole controversy of some of these real serious issues, though, that do remain, like what TUSD is going to do about declining enrollment?
Well, it does. It's a distraction. It takes a lot of energy. It costs us in legal fees. Teachers are preoccupied. Students are afraid to sign up for the class in case it's taken away. They don't want to waste a credit, you know, basically. So there's many, many issues connected with it, and it is a distraction from what we need to do to educate the kids all around, not just in this area. And there's such tremendous scrutiny on the Mexican American Studies classes. I'd like Mr. Hoopenthal to go in every classroom, in every school in the entire state of Arizona, and tell me that everything is being taught to state standards, that all the curriculum resources that are used are correct and perfect, and how they're being taught is perfect, too.
So. Okay. Judy Burns, thank you very much for joining us on the Buckmaster Show. Judy Burns, the clerk of the TUSD Governing Board, and we will talk to you again probably very soon.
Anytime, Bill.
As this continues to unfold. It's coming up now on 18 minutes past 12. This is the Buckmaster Show. Our certified financial planner, Shelley Fishman, is waiting in the wings. Lot to talk with Shelley about in the financial news. That's coming up next. From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways, with 30 projects underway, including River Road to Ruthroth along La Cholla and the Star Pass Mission Road intersection. Please use caution in the area and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has also implemented transit services like Sun Express and Sun Shuttle. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero Mori in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veromoripizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
If you're having foot or lower back pain, you're not alone. My foot doctor recommended custom foot orthotics created by Bob Novak. Bob is a certified pedorthist and best in Southern Arizona at creating just the right foot support at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak, the owner of Arizona Limb and Brace, a call at 795-2553 or visit Bob at Rosemont and 5th. I did, and my feet thank me every day. Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinka Verde, at the southwest corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Nell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tinka Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery on the corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial services professional located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And joining us now, Shelley Fishman. And Shelley, it's always good to see you. I look forward to these weekly conversations. I always learn something.
So do I, Bill. And of course, if I'm here, it must be Tuesday, right?
Yes. And of course, because of the 4th of July holiday, we actually kind of bumped you back a day to Wednesday. And I'm still trying to get that straight. It feels like Tuesday anyway. But starting next week, we'll be back on our regular schedule at 12:20 on Tuesdays with Shelley Fishman. Shelley, there is so much going on every day with the world economy. I read something about, Portugal had some problems yesterday.
Yeah, they got downgraded. There's so much, I guess the term of art is headwinds against the economy moving, the economy is moving forward and the market's moving forward. And yet, every day we see upward pressure, at least in the American markets. We're seeing it again today. You know, we're almost at 9% on the Dow for the year, and the other indexes, the broader indexes, are about 6.5% for the year. That's despite the fact that we have all of these problems. I think there's some real optimism that the president and the Big Eight, the leaders of the House and Senate getting together tomorrow, will in fact come up with some formula for solving this problem with raising the debt ceiling.
Yeah, that's good. We talked about this last week.
That is
that
so
shoe
important.
That's ready to drop,
gosh.
And it's got to be taken care of.
Absolutely.
But the markets seem to be factoring in the bad news, the problems, well, and as you say, moving forward.
That's what's so amazing. You know, the fundamentals are there. Corporate profits are there. And the ability for corporations, when they feel the pull of the market, to invest in that market are definitely there. As a result, the pricing pressure is upward, despite what is happening on a day-to-day basis around the world. So what we're seeing is that pressure, even though we're not getting 150, 200-point days, we're just seeing the day kind of start off in a tentative way. You know, I get up at very early in the morning.
Because of the way the market's open,
well, sure,
3-hour difference.
6:30 in the morning here, yes, in Tucson time. And you read all of these headlines, and the headlines say the futures are off, the market's going to open down, they're worried about this, they're worried about that. And you scratch your head because the minute the market opens, it doesn't do that at all. And so you know that all of these are very wise people who are getting all of this stuff published on an hour-to-hour basis are simply speculating about what they think is going to move the market during the course of the next couple of minutes. And then the market has a mind of its own. It does exactly what it wants to do. And so this morning was another perfect example. As the stuff was coming up on my screen about the market opening lower and staying lower, the market was up 40 points. And you just wonder about, you know, what are people thinking?
That 24-hour, 24/7 news cycle, the financial networks, they have to fill with something.
Well, and some of this stuff is very wise. I mean, some of this stuff does have the imprimatur of expertise. Last week, one of the largest money managers in the country said, forget about everything that you hear, the market's going up. And then another one came out, you know, maybe the second largest money manager in the country, said, not so certain, maybe we're going to have some rough patches. So expertise isn't necessarily the best predictor of accuracy. And one of the caveats you always get when you invest is that past performance is no indicator of future performance. So what you do is you really do have to look at balancing a portfolio. If you're very young and very greedy, I'll use that word, then you can afford to be very aggressive. If, on the other hand, you're closer to retirement age and a little bit more cautious in your propensity to take risk, then you have to balance your portfolio a lot more conservatively.
But there are sound strategies in either case, and this is where you specialize. Shelley Fishman is a certified financial planner. He is the planner of choice of the Bill Buckmaster Show. I can't say enough about Shelley Fishman. This guy really knows what he's talking about, and if you're wondering about what you should do with your money and you want some sound advice, Shelley can give it to you. And a first phone call, you don't usually charge folks for...
Oh, no, of course not.
Yeah, I mean, just say hello. I'd like to... Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
One of the nice things about being affiliated with an organization like Pyramid Credit Union is that I don't have a lot of sales pressure. I don't have the kinds of pressure that very often would exist in a certainly a larger organization or what we call a wirehouse. I don't have a quota. I don't have a boss telling me to sell this product or that product. My job is to help the members of the credit union and anybody else who calls in and asks for help from me. Now, at some point, of course, I do get paid.
In effect, you're like a service provider.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And being part of the credit union allows me to do that and still pay the rent.
And Pyramid Federal Credit Union has a great reputation.
Oh, it's a wonderful organization. It's one of the smaller credit unions in the state. It's the oldest credit union in the state. And it we're on a first name basis with so many of our depositors, so many of our shareholders, because when you join a credit union, you become a shareholder. It's just a very different experience from a bank. I love it.
And you are located at?
Well, we have four branches around the valley. We have a branch on Broadway right across from the Park Mall. We have a branch up at Wetmore and Oracle. We have a branch down at Rita Road. And the fourth branch is on the east side at Speedway and Pantano.
And the best way to get a hold of Shelley Fishman?
795 795- 7950, or just go to my website at www.shellyfishman.com, hit the Contact Me button.
And we've been talking about the BuckmasterShow.com website. We've had some upgrades to it. Some news is up there now, and we're real happy with it. There's a link, too, to Shelly on our website. So if you know
all about, roads lead to Shelly.
They do. They do. And they will lead here next Tuesday to Shelly at about 12:20. Shelly, thank you. We'll be back.
Bill.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial, Pyramid Federal Credit Union, or this station. Shelly Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Securities and insurance products offered through LPL Financial and its affiliates. Member FINRA, SIPC. Pyramid Federal Credit Union is not a registered broker-dealer, nor is it affiliated with LPL Financial.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. President Obama defends his stimulus program as the right thing to do, but in response to questions submitted to him today via Twitter, the president also said the administration underestimated the severity of the recession. Prosecutors and defense lawyers are preparing to call some prominent names in Major League Baseball as witnesses at the perjury trial of pitching great Roger Clemens. As cleanup work continues along the Yellowstone River in Montana from a broken ExxonMobil oil pipeline, some details have been emerging about the company's actions in advance of Friday night's spill. Wall Street heading into the final half hour of today's trading. The Dow is up about 47 points, the NASDAQ trading 5 points higher. More details at srnnews.com.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowland Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit Service. With 30 projects under construction, including Tankerverde Road and the Catalina Highway to Houghton and the bus pullout at Ina and Oracle, please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you. Biro Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Biro Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Biro Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at viroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
The Arizona Inn is the only Tucson hotel named by Travel and Leisure magazine as one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. Located in Midtown, close to the University of Arizona, the Arizona Inn is located at 2200 East Elm Street and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn maintains AAA 4-diamond status for both the hotel and dining room, with Chef Allison serving up breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily, with a featured menu and seasonal favorites. And because the Arizona Inn is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, founded by Arizona's first Congresswoman, Isabella Greenway, the Arizona Inn provides an historic backdrop for your next special event. Arizona Inn is the perfect setting for weddings, anniversary celebrations, or your next business meeting. And you can make your reservations online at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn, luxury and elegance in the heart of Tucson.
$12
12:34 on the Buckmaster Show. I am Bill Buckmaster on KVOI, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and our partner stations in Douglas and Globe. Last Friday's Wall Street Journal featured writer J.A. Jantz, who the Journal says has legions of obsessed fans. And those fans are really excited about this week's official release of the book Betrayal of Trust, which marks a noteworthy milestone for the Southern Arizona resident, the publication of the 20th mystery featuring Seattle investigator J.P. Beaumont. There are 5.5 million copies of Miss Jantz's Beaumont series in print. Along with the Beaumont series, J.A. Jantz is author of the Allie Reynolds series, the Joanna Brady series, and 4 interrelated Southwestern thrillers featuring the Walker family. Judy Jantz joins us now on the Buckmaster Show, live line from her home in cool Seattle, where she divides her time between the green Washington State and Tucson. Judy, you missed all the rain yesterday.
Well, looking at the temperature gauges yesterday, it was warmer here than it was in Tucson. And that dust storm in Phoenix, I don't think I've ever seen anything like it.
Amazing. I think that thing went up about 10,000 feet. I was talking about it at the beginning of the program. But, Judy, we have had 2 very, very big-time monsoon rains here. So your lawn in Tucson at your home is getting a nice watering.
Well, that's good to know. I'm glad to know that. And talking about Beaumont, he and I really have been together as author and character for almost 30 years. I sat down to write the first Beaumont book back in 1982. That's a long time.
It is.
To be with this guy in my life who doesn't exist, and yet he's a part of our lives.
And you know, congratulations on that very nice piece that you're included in. The Alexandria Alter had a nice piece in the Wall Street Journal on Friday, and she quotes you as saying that if you had known that Beaumont would endure for nearly 30 years, you wouldn't have aged him so much throughout the series.
Well, that's true. The fact is, not only has Beau aged through the series, but so has the Seattle skyline, the Seattle milieu, the world of electronics, the world of publishing. Well, all of those things have changed remarkably in those times. And so my husband, Bill, who has, he's dealing with a bad tooth today, so I hesitate to say who has more nerve than a bad tooth, told me, well, now your books are period pieces.
Judy Jantz is with us on the Buckmaster Show, live line from Seattle. And Judy has lots of fans, of course, throughout Southern Arizona. And Judy, now with our wide reach of the Buckmaster Show, folks are hearing you in your hometown of Bisbee and in Cochise County. And tell me about how Beau, the character, came about.
I had written a book that never sold to anybody. It was a thinly fictionalized version of a true crime series of murders that happened in Tucson in the early 70s. And the editors who turned it down said the stuff that was fiction was fine and the stuff that was real was unbelievable and would never happen, even though it had already happened. So my agent said, why don't you try writing something that is completely fictional? So I tried for 6 months to write this the book that became Until Proven Guilty through the wrong point of view. Finally, I was going to visit a friend on a train in Portland, and as the train pulled out of the King Street station, I thought, what would happen if I wrote this story through the detective's point of view? And so I wrote, she might have been a cute kid once. That was hard to tell now. She was dead. And by the time I finished writing that sentence, I was at the crime scene, walking around it in J.P. Beaumont's shoes, seeing it through his eyes, and And the book wrote itself in a matter of weeks. Once I had the right point of view, I was able to tell the story. When I wrote that first book, I had no idea that it would be bought as a series. And I certainly had no idea that all these years later we'd be talking about Beaumont number 20.
What is happening with Beau now in this new thriller, Betrayal of Trust?
Well, again, my husband. I finished writing the Allie Reynolds book that came out last winter. And he turned to me and he said, well, on a Friday afternoon, well, have you given any idea to what the next Beaumont book will be? And I said, well, I think I'd like to write a Beaumont book where he has to deal with the Washington state governor. And he looked at me and he said, that's a terrible idea. And so I started writing on Monday and I wrote the book in 2 months.
Oh, my.
But this really, Beaumont, through the Special Homicide Investigation Team, is called in on a case that involves the governor's step-grandson. It's her second husband's grandson, and at first it looks like there's a snuff film on the grandson's computer. That turns out to be, never mind, I'm not going to tell you that. That's part of the story.
You're we'll save that part. But
yes.
Anyway, that's a key part of the story, so we better not get into that. Let's tell all of our listeners that you will be back in Tucson for a signing. You're going to be in Tucson Monday, this upcoming Monday, July 11th, 7 o'clock in the evening at Barnes & Noble. That's the East Broadway Barnes & Noble. And then for those of our folks listening up in the Phoenix area, you'll be at Sun City West on Tuesday, July the 12th at the Johnson Library.
Do you see a problem with that? If I finish up in Tucson at 9 o'clock and I'm supposed to be at Sun City West at 10 o'clock the next morning?
I think you're going to have to leave after the Tucson signing and head up there.
Well,
or not get much sleep.
Not get much sleep is probably the option. I'm really sorry that there's only one signing in Tucson this time around. It's just, it's the way they built the schedule, that was all the time there was. So I hope people will come. I hope the lines, well, I do hope the lines are long, but I have a very short name, so I can sign in a hurry.
And isn't your motto, leave no book unsigned?
That is my motto. When people turn up with bags of books, and that has happened to me already on this tour. I've had people, yesterday at the noontime signing, there were three people who came in with three bags of books each. But because I had some flexibility in the schedule, I did not leave until the last book was signed.
Well, bless your heart. Judy Jantz is our guest on the Buckmaster Show, 1242. We could probably sneak in a quick call from one of Judy's fans. If you want to give us a call at 790-2040, one of Judy's many fans, or as the Wall Street Journal said, obsessed fans. Is that accurate?
Well,
are they obsessed? Yeah.
Some people are. One woman was so upset when she thought Beaumont and Joanna Brady had an affair that she threw my books in the garbage and stopped reading them entirely. Well, it turned out, I wanted to ask her, what book were you reading? Because they had a momentary attraction. But there certainly was no affair. But eventually her sister rescued the books from the garbage and explained to her that there had been no affair and now all is forgiven and she's reading my books again. But I think that counts as obsessed.
Yeah, I would say so. Judy Jantz, Betrayal of Trust. It is the 20th Beaumont book, the 20th J.P. Beaumont book, and I know that you're probably busy working on something else or it's already just been finished.
Well, I finished the next Allie Reynolds book. I'm working on the next Joanna Brady book. But for those obsessed fans, the ones who have followed Beaumont from the beginning, I believe there's going to be a point in Betrayal of Trust when they're going to say aloud, as I did, "Oh, yes, it's about time."
Okay. Judy, thank you very much for being with us on the Buckmaster Show. Have a great day up in Seattle.
Okay, thanks, Bill. See you later.
Thanks a lot. Bye. 12:44 on the Buckmaster Show. We began this show talking about education and ethnic studies. Now we're going to talk about, should we extend the school year well into the summer? That's coming up on the Buckmaster Show.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinka Verde at the southwest corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon and online at medicinemangallery.com. 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tinka Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery on the corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
Everyone's piling on big banks nowadays, with good reason. But still, you're skeptical about moving your money. We get it, but let's think about that. If you're worried about convenience, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has local branches and thousands of fee-free ATMs nationwide. If you're worried about service, at Pyramid, you're a member. At big banks, you're a number. There's a difference. And if you're worried about savings, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has better rates and fewer fees than big banks. Like our great low 4.5% APR on new, used, or refinanced vehicle loans with terms up to 60 months. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options. So Pyramid wins on convenience, service, and savings. If you're still skeptical about moving your money, try us out. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Visit pyramidfcu.com to learn how. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
It's 12:47 on the Buckmaster Show on KVOI, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. Next up on the Buckmaster Show, we call upon one of our two dozen or so contributors to the Buckmaster Show. We are delighted to have our contributor on education with us, Dr. Robert Hendricks. And he is Associate Professor Emeritus at the University of Arizona College of Education. He's the former head of the Department of Educational Policy Studies and Practice and taught organizational theory, human resource, management and policy analyst at the master's and doctoral level, the former superintendent of the Flowing Wells School District. Dr. Hendricks was named Arizona's top superintendent in 1989, and we're welcoming you now as an emeritus.
Yes. It's a very different feeling, but the issues are still the same, Bill.
The issues are still the same, and you're still going to be teaching, right?
I am. I'll be going back to the university in the spring. I'm working on some projects that are affiliated with the university right now, and it's a little bit more time and a little more freedom than I've had in the past, but I've found that my days are quickly filling with different things.
Oh, they will be very full indeed. Dr. Bob Hendricks, Dr. Robert Hendricks is with us. If you have an education question along the line as we talk about perhaps lengthening the school year, we want to give out the number 790-2040, 790-2040. Perhaps you would like to weigh in on this question. Should we extend the school year as being put forth by President Obama, who is saying now let's perhaps go from an average 180 days to 200 days for a school year? First of all, Dr. Hendricks, do you think it's a good idea on the surface?
Well, there's some research that suggests that it would be a good idea. Of course, the devil's in the details, and President Obama is not the first federal official to suggest that we lengthen the school year. And he uses as his template other countries around the world who have much longer school years, particularly in our Asian countries who show very, very high performance levels. They're going to school 240 days or longer.
Wow. That gives them a very short holiday vacation, right?
It does. But the question that I think it always begs is more necessarily better? And judging by a number of the blogs that I have read since President Obama suggested this initially 2 years ago, has continued to suggest it through his Secretary of Education, it's not a popular notion. We talk a really, really good game about wanting to improve student achievement. But when it comes down to the issue of convenience, summer vacations, which, by the way, the history of the 180-day calendar is really based on the notion of an agrarian society where students really needed to be released in the summer to work on the farms. Well, you know, we're in a very, very different generation now. In fact, I think a couple generations have gone through a period where the agrarian model isn't necessarily required. But the economics, I think, suggest that perhaps we don't want to pay our employees more, which obviously we'd have to do that. It changes the economic model, but also changes our cultural pattern of living, because we're really used to those summers and all of the things that go with that.
You know, getting back to the performance area, and I think that's kind of what the bottom line is, would going to a longer school year necessarily mean a better performance?
I think the strongest argument for a more continuous education throughout the entire calendar year would be the issue of retention. Would students retain more if they were in school over a period of time with more continuity? There is some research that suggests that they would retain more. However, in terms of overall achievement, more of it is about what is happening in the classroom, and would it make that much difference if we were to pile things on higher and deeper for another 20, 25 days over the course of the year? Personally, I don't think so. But again, you could have that argument that if you had a better system of retention, you might not have to spend as much time at the beginning of each school year going over reviewing information that and reteaching it.
If you'd like to weigh in on this question, should we extend our school year, 790-2040, 790-2040, or if you would like to use the 1-866 line, 725-5467, 866-725-5467. If you're outside of the Tucson area, we'd love to hear from you. Dr. Hendricks, we're talking about extending the school year. Is it a good idea or perhaps not? Now, you have some experience, Dr. Hendricks, in a longer school year. You spent some time over in China. How did that go? How long of a school year do they have where you were in China?
Well, they not only have a longer school year of approximately 240 days, but they have a longer school day. And it was not uncommon for students to get on the public bus in the morning at 7 a.m. and be on that same bus system at 7 p.m. in the evening with an extended lunch, what would be a lunch-dinner hour of a couple hours in the middle of the day. But definitely what typically would be an American school day of 6 hours or less would be more 9 hours in the Chinese system.
What are the disadvantages? I mean, you would think that would cut down on perhaps extracurriculum activities.
Well, that's, of course, one of the arguments in our American system. And there have been a number of surveys of the citizenry and talked about, you know, what is it that you want? And many Americans will say what we want is balance. We don't want a system that is going to be so heavily weighted towards formal education that our youngsters do not have those co-curricular sports and club activities and free time as well. But clearly in the Asian societies, in South Korea and China and Japan, work is play, and play is work. And there's a great deal of emphasis on those extended days. And in fact, in Japan, it's not uncommon for parents to pay for an extra day of school on Saturday. And Saturday school extends it because it's about keeping that competitive advantage. There's high stakes. I mean, we talk about high stakes in our American education system. The high stakes for many foreign countries where, you know, a single test makes all the difference in the world. The feeling is if you spend more time at it, you're going to get better at it and your scores are going to improve.
This extending the year to 200 days, would that be a little bit at the beginning of summer and cutting the summer short, or how was that determined?
Well, that's a political football because, yeah. You know, if you live back east, you don't want to cross that threshold of Labor Day.
Right.
We crossed it a long time ago here in Arizona. And, you know, if you look at many schools in southern Arizona, they're starting school right now in early August. Mm-hmm. And it's really about distribution of the days because 180 days, when you look at it over the course of a calendar year, you have a number of vacations. You have other kinds of things that are interspersed during the year. There's also this concept of the year-round school, but it really only means that those same 180 days are redistributed differently. And so
some districts are already doing a year-round school.
They are doing that. They are doing that. Some of them are doing it for educational reasons. Some of them are doing it for economic reasons because if you spread schools out over quarters, you're able to actually put in another group of students. So you're able to maximize your school buildings, which is another argument people will say, often propose, is that buildings are sitting empty for a couple months during the summer.
It really is a huge, though, as you say, a political football, because then you've got teachers who are already saying, and in many cases it's true, that they are underpaid. They're going to have to be paid more. And where is that money going to come from when school systems are so strapped right now?
Well, in fact, we have a very recent example in the Marana Unified School District where the superintendent had proposed to his board that he extend the number of days in the school year. And of course, that would have been financed by additional revenue that was supported by the taxpayers of that district. It wouldn't have come from the state. It would have come through override funds. And it was taken off the table quite quickly because there was so much clamor from the taxpayers in the district, whether it was an economic issue or you're interfering with our lifestyle. We really don't want that. I think the proposal floated for about a month or so, and then it was taken off the table.
Well, we'll see what happens, but it certainly is a hot potato on what's going to happen with extending the school year. Dr. Robert Hendricks has been our guest. He's the Buckmaster Show contributor on education. I'd like to bring him in at least once a month to talk about education, and we will look forward to seeing you in August. Thank you very much.
Yes, nice to be here again.
Thanks a lot. Coming up now on the conclusion of the Buckmaster Show, Buckmaster Show brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates, Certified Public Accountants, 2919 East Broadway, and on the web at flowersrieger.com. Check out Facebook, The Buckmaster Show. We've got a list of what's coming up on tomorrow's show. Have a great afternoon.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas and 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.